I've found this on Ganarum. Ganamir.
What is it?
Well, it's,
Let's go. Synthaholics. It's the Star Trek podcast.
Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is the love struck.
Oh, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Aaron O'Brien is looking for love in all the wrong places.
In all the wrong places?
Oh, yeah. Under bridges is not a good place.
Or on a weird generation ship.
I don't know. It could be. It seemed pretty sexy.
She was pretty sexy.
Yeah.
I will not give him, negatives for falling for her, but everything else I'm going to give him negatives for.
Do you wonder what we're talking about? Do you want to know what we're talking about?
Do you have the disease like Aaron does?
I think I'm breaking up in hives here.
Sexy really, hives.
Really scratchy.
Bioluminescent skin. Ah, you're glowing!
So
what's wrong with you?
This episode of Synthaholics, we are talking about the Voyager episode Disease, season 5, episode 17, released February 24th, 1999.
Ooh, in the year almost 2000.
Almost 2000, not quite. but before we jump into that, just a few things to touch on, right, Dave?
Yeah, we got some news. First we heard Michael Dorn, which I posted the Michael Dorn thing on our Synthaholics page. 5 or 10 minutes later, I found another article saying he was not going to be on it, which I posted as a reply to that thing.
They're like,
I can't believe I debunked my own excited article that fast.
They're like,
it was so disappointing.
Michael Dorn's at the table with the producers, and they're like, "Here's what we're willing to offer you," and he like looks at it, and he's like, "I think I'll pass." It's not a lot of money.
It's pretty much what it came down to.
It was going
to
be a hamburger and a milkshake.
No, it's a hamburger milkshake where they're all mixed together.
Ooh, gross.
It's like they're offering him 1% of what he was going to what he made on his last time he played Worf.
Yeah.
So,
which was Nemesis, like we were talking about Mike.
I mean, like that's going to be more than a television show, but still, like only 1%.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if he made, like $100 million, I'm sorry. If he made $100,000, uh-huh. That's like $1,000.
Yeah.
So like, if he made if he made a million, I think that's $10,000.
Well, let's face it. This is
like it's such small. I mean, even if he only made $1 million, 1%.
But let's face it.
That's $10,000.
It would be a small part. He's only going to be on for one episode for probably. Couple minutes at most of screen time.
Who knows? I mean, but the way the original article made it sound is he was going to be one of the main, one of the background officers.
Oh, okay.
On a bunch of the episodes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But also somehow a relative of the Worf we know from Next Gen.
Yes. Over on Camp Kittimer.
Camp Kittimer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's disappointing that he's not going to be in it. I just, Michael Dorn, he saved.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. I mean, like they cast him in it, and the show started getting way better after they cast him in it. I mean, sure, that has something to do with the writing and maybe the parent or whoever's running the show,
yeah.
CBS at the time, or I mean, I don't even know if CBS at the time, it was Viacom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoever's running the show at the time, they started focusing on Voyager, so they kind of left Deep Space Nine alone, and that also let Deep Space Nine get good. But he came in and pretty much saved the show. I mean, the show was so much better in season four. The season he came in,
yeah.
I feel like CBS isn't valuing his impact on the show. I mean, like they need people to sign up for this all access stuff.
They don't. They don't. they don't get it.
He's a big name. I mean, like, people love Next Gen.
These people...
People love Next Gen more than almost anything.
I know, but these people literally have maggots for brains. Whatever brains they've had has just been completely eaten by maggots that are, like, or tapeworms that are eating their brain stems out. I can't even understand what's going on. But talking about tapeworms in the brain, one more piece of news.
Yeah, this comes from a Screen Rant article from about 10 hours ago, according to the link. There's an interview with Venture CBS Interactive president Mark DeBevoise, said that despite the show's pivotal role on All Access original programming, there's no pressure to focus on the premiere date. I quote... It's going really great. I've actually been up there to the set. It's, you know, phenomenal. It's huge.
Is it bigly?
It's so bigly. And we're very excited about the content that the creators, the actors, and all coming together. As you said, we're not tied to any specific release date. It'll be there when we're ready to do it. Because it'll be great. Huge. Amazing. And when we feel it's in a great place... We're not worried about anything here. We're excited. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And we'll have more specifics as we get closer to what will likely be the release date.
Like I said, tapeworms for brains. I mean, like, that they won't they won't even give a release date anymore. They're just like, ah, we could, but that just keeps on getting us in trouble.
The last thing we heard was from Les Moonves, who said that we were beginning the show...
Like September?
Like late summer, early fall, something like that. Now it's like indefinite.
It's like when you join a doomsday cult and they keep on putting dates for you. Like when the end of the world is going to come, and finally they're just like, you know, maybe we should stop handing out dates.
We'll just drink lemonade on the last date.
We'll put the Kool-Aid out for everybody.
Put it out. The Kool-Aid brand lemonade.
Would you like some Kool-Aid?
It's also piss, but, you know. Oh, boy. But as far as news and Star Trek, that's about the only thing I've noticed recently that's of note.
It just gets sadder and sadder.
Sadder and sadder.
I just don't know what to think anymore. Remember when Star Trek was joy?
Back in the 90s.
90s when, like, everything was wonderful.
It was like, wow, this is so exciting. There's three Star Trek shows on simultaneously. There's a movie coming out in a couple of years. It'll be great. It'll be fabulous.
It's fabulous. So bigly.
So bigly. Huge. That was the renaissance of Star Trek in the 90s.
It truly was.
And now it's just like this weird desert where CBS has axed pretty much all fan films.
It's like...
We don't even have that, like, oasis to go to.
Going on, like, the whole loves theme is like when you break up with somebody and then you get back together with them and then you just don't seem to, like,
jive the same way.
Everything was great at first, and then now that you got back together, it's like, man, it was good, but what happened? What happened to us?
What happened, indeed?
The magic is gone.
My skin doesn't glow anymore. Oh. What's wrong with me?
What is wrong with me? Well, let's step away from that and go back to 1999. Back in the heyday.
When we were scared Y2K was going to be a thing, and we were going to be all plunged into darkness.
Darkness. It was going to be huge.
Huge. Huge amounts of darkness.
Well, so The Disease is written by Kenneth Biller and directed by David Livingston, I presume.
I presume.
Yes. Kenneth Biller wrote Pale Moonlight.
Oh, no wonder this episode was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you look at his credits, he's got some nice writing credits behind him. Like, a lot of good shows.
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason we're revisiting this show is because,
Talk Nightingale?
We talked to Nightingale, and I was, you know, using this episode to point out that...
Maybe, shitting on Kim?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, let's kind of connect our last Voyager talk with our next Voyager talk. So let's talk about Kim messing up.
If there's anything you ever had a doubt, it's that the Holics is Dave loves to shit on Kim. He does not have any respect for this man. Well, let's jump into the episode. So at the beginning of the episode, we see a really long... shot of this spaceship.
And at first it doesn't look that big. You see like all these pods.
Yeah.
And then it keeps zooming in and zooming in. And it's like, whoa.
It's like Spaceballs, the beginning.
it's about as big as that Spaceball ship, probably. It zooms in. You think it's just a little speck of light. You think it's a light bulb on the outside of the ship, and it's a window. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's a huge ship. And then next we see, zooming in the window into a room, Harry Kim stumbles through the door, and then him and this woman are making out, and they're pulling their clothes off.
And she throws this communicator somewhere, and like, man, I need that.
That's my favorite pin.
You know, I've got a simi going here, but I'm more worried about my communicator than my penis.
That guy can't loosen up. So at the very last bit, she's pulling his shirt up and she's making sweet kisses across his stomach. But then Kim's skin starts glowing.
He's like, what's that? She's like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
It's totally cool.
It's totally cool. You're going to love this. And then we get the opening.
We can credits. Make your penis into a nightlight.
It's going to blow up the size of a balloon. Don't worry. It's going to be great. It's going to be huge.
Don't stick a pin in it.
It's bigly. So we get the opening credits there. And then next we have the bridge of this alien ship. And the USS Voyager is helping repair their warp drive.
They've been there for 2 weeks, and their captain's complaining that they've turned the ship upside down, and nothing good has happened
right.
in 2 weeks.
Right, so
they apparently don't have cameras in Tal's room.
Well, I don't know if you put cameras in people's rooms, but so this race is called the Varro, and I guess they're very xenophobic. They don't like alien encounters. They've learned from what Janeway's mistakes is like. Hey, there's some aliens there. Let's go wave to them. That's a bad idea.
I love, like, the whole communication thing. Is like, I'm like, why isn't B'Elanna there working with him? Why isn't Seven of Nine there working with him? Like, people with... I mean, I know Janeway's got a science background. But, like, that doesn't... I mean, is she the best person to be, like, there, like, hands-on working on the thing? Doesn't she have her own ship, you know, captain?
Well, she got Chakotay to do that. Chakotay, do all the stupid, menial stuff.
The boring captaining parts. I'll do the fun stuff. But I love how, like, whenever he finally agrees to let them work on it, like, apparently the comm, she pretends the comm, you know, she calls the ship, but, like, people walk in as soon as, like, they hear it's okay, that they gives them the okay, like,
right, just,
like Blonde just and wait, Tom just run in.
Just wait till I say it's okay, and then we'll do it.
I think I'm pretty sure the comm was open, I'm pretty sure it's letting everyone eavesdrop.
I gotta talk him into it. So, yeah, so the Varro are this xenophobic alien race. They don't trust anybody, but Janeway's – we don't really know how they come in contact with this race, but they are helping them repair their warp drive on the ship. So the aliens are letting them do it begrudgingly. Oh, you're going to help us? Okay, I guess, but you can't go on that part of the ship.
But one of the rules specifically was that the crews were not supposed to mingle outside of the work they were doing.
Right.
Like, at all.
Right, right. Exactly. And so this ship it's a generational ship. It's been on a trip for 400 years. So
I just don't know how, like, they got from, like, either I'm assuming the bridge is at the front of the ship or in the back of the ship where the engines are. And Tal's room is, like, in the middle of the ship. How did they not get seen walking through that entire ship, which is a bunch of smaller pods all stuck together?
Who knows?
Had to have seen them.
Who knows? Maybe you just act busy looking down at his data pad, like, pretending he's, like, working on something.
While he's grabbing her ass the other hand. Yeah, like,
so the Varro leader is Jipqueg, or Jipqueg. Anyways, whatever.
Jipqueg!
He's a very straight, stern man. He's not very friendly.
No, he's got very few reins of emotions, from annoyed to slightly more annoyed. That's about his emotional state.
I want to talk about him later on. But so B'Elanna and Tom Paris enter, and they start doing some antimatter transfer, and everything seems to be working just great with all
until
their
it
repairs.
Doesn't.
Well, that's later on. What we see next is that Kim jumps in, and Kim's
oh,
like,
no, they've started the transfer.
Yeah.
He starts trying to wear her clothes, because apparently that was one of the things they were doing last night.
Yeah. Well, they were doing a lot of things that we don't understand. Us humans don't understand their mating rituals.
I'm pretty sure their genders, genitalia just swapped.
You have a penis too?
Wow. How is this going to work?
This is going to be weird. Yeah, so they're repairing the ship, and Kim catches up with the rest of the crew, and they're like, Paris is like,
Tom, where you been?
Like, where have you been? Because checking things out on Section 22, because that was really important.
For the past 16 hours.
And why are you all clean? Your balls smell wonderful. Did you take a sonic shower?
Oh, man. Like, you know, as cocky as Tom Paris is, he's probably the best person to ever be friends with.
Oh yeah,
on Voyager, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, you want, if you're on Voyager, forget Neelix. You want Tom Paris.
You want Tom Paris as your friend.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
He's more fun. He's gonna get you laid. He's gonna do fun stuff with you.
And he knows when you're getting laid, and he will cover for you. Even if you didn't ask.
Tom Paris went out for Kim.
Kim does not deserve friend like Tom Paris.
No, he does
not.
He does not. Not the slightest.
What did Kim ever do other than just play Captain Proton's sidekick whenever they went to the holodeck together? Like, what possibly could Kim have done?
Well, Kim sort of befriended Paris when he first came aboard.
I guess.
So when Paris was looking at as like a dirty, rotten criminal.
Who likes to plant things, because that's what criminals do in the future. They plant things.
Plant your garden.
Just like Janeway does in Orange is the New Black.
She does other things, too.
She does.
So,
she pops someone's implant.
Oh my god. So next, after they're doing the repairs, further repairs, Kim next goes, when he's back on Voyager, decides to make a discreet call to his girlfriend Tal's cabin.
Oh, this is like,
encrypts it.
This is like a terrible idea. But then having to watch him like video sexed.
I know.
Tall is so uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. It's very weird. And and not on top. On top of that, up on the bridge, Tuvok is like,
to find it.
He's like, wait, somebody's sending a message to the Varro ship
on a narrow beam in this coordinate.
It's encrypted, and like Tom's like,
oh crap, yeah, because he knows because of the conversation, and so he's like, oh, I'll just take a look and see if I can intercept this. Oh no, it's breaking up. It's gone.
No, it just must have been a glitch.
It was a glitch. You know, he's so covering for Kim.
Yeah, and then and Chakotay's like, let's run a full diagnostic, but that was just dropped, never brought up after that. You know,
but like he is such a good friend.
He really is a good friend.
I don't really like Tom Paris particularly in the show, but like if I'm going to pick a friend who will have my back,
yeah,
I will pick Tom Paris.
I would pick Tom
Paris. I will not pick Chakotay. I will not pick Janeway.
No.
Tom's got your back.
B'Elanna, too testy.
Oh, she'll explode and she'll let stuff slip.
She'll kill you.
Or that.
Doctor, although fun, not a guy you want to be around.
Well, apparently there's no doctor-patient confidentiality when it comes to sex.
Yeah.
That is not confidential on
Kim has
on
been
Voyager.
Diddling the aliens.
Seven of Nine will also tell on you. I mean, as pretty as she is, she's not
she's not
very good with discretion.
No, not at all. So we talk about Seven of Nine. Next scene we have is... They get put their duties.
They get new duty assignments.
And Kim is paired up with 7 and 9 to do something with astrometrics or something.
They just scan the hull.
And
looking for those microfactors.
While they're doing that, Paris goes, dude, you owe me big time. Do you know you almost got caught for that little
call? He's like, details, all of them now. Don't lie to me anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And, Kim's like, oh, so I've been seeing Tal. We've been boning. For about, 2 weeks, they said, or something? Or it started...
They became attracted to each other 2 weeks, but I'm pretty sure they only slept together that one time.
Right. And so while...
They're in the back of the room having their own private conversation. All the duty roster has been handed out. 7 of 9 comes up to Kim, because, of course, 7 of 9 is paired up with Kim.
Right.
We have to go to Asymmetric. Scan for microfractures. Let's go now.
Yeah, so they go and... While he's there working with 7 of 9, he has this little question like, what do you think about love?
Like, I don't know what this has to do with scanning for hole fractures. Nothing. Unless you're trying to put your penis into one. I don't know.
Are you that small?
Microfractures, guys.
Microfractures. So, and so she says that it has a pathogen effect for romantic love
because she compares it to a disease, yeah, because of the way it you know it changes the way you think and act.
Because technically, love is just a way to give us endorphins and chemical response to make us want to mate and procreate for the race. That's basically all our biological needs are. You know, it's like you get to a certain
way,
level.
I mean, like, I think she's definitely right.
Then, oh, she's 100% right.
But at the end, she kind of takes that back. But
well, she takes it back at the very end, but that's a little different.
Yeah.
But, she sees other benefits of it.
Yeah.
Which there definitely is. I don't mean, sure, to say there isn't, but romantic love, especially when you get that craziness, romantic love in your head, you know, it can completely destroy your
logic goes out the window.
Yeah.
This is why Vulcans use axes with hammers on the end of them to decide love.
Exactly.
It makes things so much simpler that way. Just kill somebody.
So while he's with 7-9, all of a sudden Kim's skin starts glowing again. He goes, "You're glowing." He goes, "What?
No, you're just it's just the lighting in here.
No, just
no, your skin luminesced." I love the way 7-9 talks.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it's probably challenging for Jeri Ryan to talk like 7-9 because she talks so weird. Yeah. I love the way she talks. She's so exact and so specific in the way
she delivers the lines well, and the lines are really well written for her too. So.
Like we were talking about the one where she was like, "Arrive quickly!" When they have that torpedo there, she's staring at the face. Yeah. "Arrive quickly!" It's just like I just love the way she puts things.
Yeah. Well, so she goes to sick bay, and the doctor is like, "Have you eaten anything? Have you
touched any of their medical supplies?"
He's like, "No, no, no."
"Did the doctor put a finger up your butt?"
"No."
"No, I don't think he did."
Well, he's going to quarantine them and initiate a full-scale medical
he's
alert.
He's worried about some kind of epidemic on the ship.
Which rightly so.
Yeah.
And Kim's like, "Look, don't do that. I know it's wrong.
Seven, leave."
And she goes, "Why? I could help the doctor." He's like, "No, you don't. I know what's wrong."
No. Kim's like, "I turned down boning you once. I can't say in front of you that I boned someone else in case you won't bone me now."
Do you think that was it? I think he just was embarrassed.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
All right. So she leaves and he roundabout says, "I had sex with Tal." And he's like, "Are you out of your mind?
Like, you're supposed to get medical clearance before you have sex with undocumented aliens."
Yeah.
And this is when, like, medical, you know, confidentiality goes out the window.
Well, because I think it has to do with the safety of the crew and also the implications that can do on their mission currently. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I think that's why it's basically, actually, I even think when you join the military, I think you are not technically allowed to have sexual intercourse with, like, people when you're on duty. I think that's kind of a rule. I can't be totally 100% sure of that, but it's definitely one of those things like...
And those guys in Full Metal Jacket didn't know that.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, that's the thing is that, I mean, and one of the reasons is if you're a soldier and let's say you go to, like, go to a
showers, and then you could spread it.
Yeah, I mean, then everyone else has got like sexual disease because they're going around and doing stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, I know the military knows that it's going to happen, but I think it's really frowned upon. So, yeah. But anyway, so
it makes sense.
And it makes a lot of sense why Janeway comes down so hard on Kim. She's like, you know, first of all, there's like, what she said, there's like a 3-inch thick.
A 3-centimeter thick thing on interracial relations with unknown alien species.
Basically, you're supposed to clear it with
fantastic.
Your.
Fantastic. And Kim quotes, you know, a paragraph of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sums up pretty much everything you need to know. And she's like, "Well, why didn't you, you know, recall this sooner?" And I love how she just dresses down Kim. And she's totally right.
She's totally right.
And one of the few times I can say that about Janeway.
No, I mean, Janeway did really good. And I, you know, I understand her concern. And then later on, the captain of the Varro, he's basically saying, he made the point of, look, this condition, it might not be life-threatening to Kim, but it could kill Tal. Because...
And is he going to just go around and gallivant and get a new conquest? Like, he's like, they should hook up. They need to be together because we take sex seriously here.
Yeah.
We
take sex very seriously.
Yeah.
Even though they both have penises.
Oh, no! He doesn't know that. He probably thinks the men have vaginas, like he does.
Janeway, you have a vagina, right? When you say vagina, what do you mean? You mean that, like, worm thing that hangs out of your groin area?
Exactly.
No, that's not my vagina.
Oh.
Damn.
Damn.
We call it our nog-nog. I'd like to have, like, alien, like, slang words for their genitalia. Their junk. Yeah. Like, what they call their...
Nog noggin, juwag.
The juwag. Hey, put that wet juwag all over my face, baby.
Sit on my face with your wet new nog. Oh, we're so bad.
Well, we know what Kim was doing, so.
that's absolutely for sure. They bring up she needs to come onto the ship too for medical things, although this never ever happens.
No, that never happens. But we do get a Neelix comes to Tuvok and says, "Hey, some rations were missing from the replicator, and I don't know why that is." And
they go on a scavenger hunt, and they find Jeffrey's tubes. Some guy is just sitting in there.
He's like
in his pajamas.
No, he's like...
He's like masturbating in the Jeffrey's tube. He's like, there's nothing else to do.
My nog-nog is really good right now. It's turning purple. Ooh, yeah. The goo is coming out of my nog-nog.
And then
now.
That's when Tuvok opens the door and is like, what are you doing?
And he's like, oh, I'm pleasuring my nog-nog. Well...
They go and they question him, and then he lets something slip about some kind of resistance.
The resistance. So apparently,
this is Les Miserables space.
Yeah. So apparently, the Trump of the Varro ship is not allowing people to have a proper say, and they're ruling with an iron fist and keeping everyone together, even though they would like to branch
out. Some people
would
like to explore. Some people would like to meet other races. And majority
have sex with them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most important thing.
They're a bunch of randy aliens.
To seek out new life and new civilizations.
To fuck
them. To put my nog nog. Where no Vala's put their nog nog before.
Let's just keep making up words for genitalia.
That's going to be like our new Twitter, nog nog.
Nog nog. Hashtag nog nog.
Poor Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog in Deep Space Nine.
He does look like a penis. No, you're a handsome man. He won't give them any more information about this resistance, but they're like, okay, let's just contact
them. We'll throw them in the brig. It's so weird that, like usually if someone asks, if it's a girl and they ask for, you know,
Nog Nog?
Yeah, Nog Nog. No, if it's a girl and they ask for, what is it?
Information?
No, solitude, not solitude.
Asylum.
Asylum. When they ask for asylum, like, okay, yeah, you can have asylum. But it's a dude who's like, yeah, we're going to throw you in the brig instead of giving you, like, we'll give you kind of asylum.
First of all, they're throwing him in the brig. Dude, you were in a Jeffrey's tube making your nog-nog purple, and I don't even know what those rations were that you're eating. They look like Pop-Tarts that were undercooked.
Stale bread.
They look terrible. More Lombus bread.
Just a little corner can feed a man for a day. I had seven.
Man,
whole loaves.
Am I stuffed? And for tomorrow, more Lombus bread.
No, Lombus bread. I need elevensies. Bacon and ham.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Mash them, stick them, fry them in the stew.
So they hand over this guy and they put him over to the ship. And Janeway's obviously concerned. She's like, "Well, what's going on your ship?" And he's like, "It's all
it's just
overblown, all overblown." It's nothing.
It's huge. I mean, it's not. It's opposite of huge. Like,
this is all fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news. It's fake nothing. News. Nothing.
It really was. That's pretty much how it.
He is the Donald Trump of the shit.
He is.
It's fake news. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's just people have an axe to grind.
In the meantime, Harry Kim abducts Tall, takes her to a nebula because she wants to go. Actually, she almost blows up part of her ship. Quote unquote, accidentally.
Accidentally.
But then she's like, oh, there's a nebula nearby. Let's go look at it. And they try to have a romantic interlude. And, oh, no, it'll know. And this is another case of how does nobody notice a shuttlecraft missing sooner? How many times do shuttlecrafts have to be taken off?
Well, let me just point this out. So Kim was just reprimanded for what happened. And all of a sudden they said, oh, just go out on a shuttlecraft and do some survey work. Like,
well, no, he said he finished his duty early.
My point is,
we're going
to
be looking for
him. You were just reprimanded. You have an official reprimand. You're going to give him access to the shuttlecraft now? Like, maybe.
That's the thing. You don't need access to shuttlecraft. Anyone.
Just take anyone, it out.
Not even an officer. Like, in next gen.
It's like
Wesley's boyfriend.
It's like the Uber.
Took out a shuttlecraft and was almost crashing it into the planet.
It's like an Uber of space.
I just don't
know. Just call it up and it just comes to you.
No one. Why is there no security? That's a giant door on the back of your ship, and there's no security on that whatsoever. Anyone can open the door, even a civilian teenager.
It's just somebody's gonna throw their nog.
Anyone can.
They're gonna throw their nog nog in that back door.
Like I just. How do people not? How does these shuttlecraft things keep happening?
Towel's putting her nog nog in the back door.
Kim's back door. That's the only place it could go, other than his mouth.
Maybe his ears.
I guess if it's narrow.
We don't really know what their nog nog shape is.
That's true.
No, I mean the shuttlecraft dilemma is a constant thing. But
it's my thing is,
he was definitely assigned to do this survey work on it. But why would you put a guy who's just reprimanded into a shuttlecraft? Wouldn't you give him some menial garbage work like? Oh,
scrub plasma injectors or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He is an ensign after all.
Yeah, you're an ensign. You're not that great, you know.
No one gives a shit about you.
No one gives a shit about you.
How is he a bridge? He should have been kicked off the bridge like season 2.
Well, because he was supposed to. be like the, you know, like
a prodigy.
Yeah, he's like he's the Doogie Howser of space. So
hey,
let me solve your problems. Your nog nog looks swollen and purple.
I can alleviate the pressure if you know what I mean.
Stick it in my ear. So he beams up Tal. Tuvok discovers them on the Delta Flyer. You were in violation of your
direct orders from Janeway.
You and Tal have to report immediately.
Why Tal? And it's like, oh, she's been implicated in as part of the resistance.
So those microfractures that Kim was interested in sexually before, those happen to be some kind of strange virus that is basically...
They were genetically engineered algae that eat through metal.
Right, and they're actually eating away on Voyager's hull now as well. So they find out that these were obviously this resistance that they talked about before. So somehow they're on the hull, eating away at it.
And that's what caused the microfractures and why they were able to fail. That's why they failed that warp test early at the very beginning of the episode.
Right. So Kim is brought back. Tal is brought, you know, on back to her ship.
And she reluctantly agrees to, you know, help solve the problem because she doesn't want her people to die.
Because she's the one who helped implement
Basically the leader of the – or if she's not the leader, she's like the mastermind behind the science of what they're doing.
Oh, she's
– if she's not the first in command, she's like easily the second or third.
She's up there. She's swinging that nog-nog around like it's nobody's business. Yeah.
That's why Kim was like, I don't know how this is going to work, but it was amazing.
The way she moved those hips and that nag-nag just makes me
want to impress a Kim, helicopter nag-nag.
Just makes me want to.
Doesn't quite work like helicopter dick. To impress a chick, helicopter dick.
Just swinging that nag-nag around. So anyways... Yeah, so they're trying to solve it, but all of a sudden one of the sections start buckling and collapsing. Oh, and they start an explosion.
Oh no! But before this, there's like a great long shot of like everyone leaves to go to their job, and then she starts scolding Kim some more. And there's this great like long shot. I don't think they've. If they've done a long shot like this before, I can't think of it specifically. But they leave the ready room, mm-hmm. and the camera moves across the bridge. Kim throws a baby hissy fit on the bridge in front of everybody, and she's like, "In my ready room now!" And then they cross the bridge and go into the ready room. Right. That's like one long shot. I mean, it might have had some cutbacks, but it looked like it was because you could see into both rooms as the camera was moving.
Right.
So that was kind of cool, like seeing like the as a living set instead of just individual rooms.
That was probably the most I've ever seen Kim like put his foot down. Like he was like, "No. I am not going to do this."
I'm not the perfect, you know.
I'm not your perfect little ensign anymore.
I'm going to say no now.
No. No.
I'm not going to say yes every time.
Oh, Tom Paris can fuck up constantly, but I make one mistake because I want to put someone's nog-nog in my ear, and all of a sudden it's a problem.
To Janeway, it was.
It was, yeah. The perfect little boy.
Perfect little boy is growing up.
He's growing up. He got a motorcycle and a tattoo.
It's been 5 years of the perfect little boy, and now it's all gone.
He's got that cigarette behind his ears. His breath smells of alcohol.
He just needs some place to put his hairy wang.
He does. He found a nice port of entry.
Anyway, that's when the ship starts. Their ship starts to fall apart.
Then the ship starts blowing up.
Like, because it's basically all these small not small, but they're like these, they look like capsules all stuck together, but then they're held together by this like flimsy looking framework.
Yeah.
The framework starts blowing up and flying all over the place.
As Tuvok put out before, he says, you know, because Tom Paris was marveling at the engineering, he's like, it's not really practical. It just seems like kind of thrown together. So.
Yeah, it's really like haphazard. It's a terrible looking ship.
Actually, I like the look of it, but yeah, it's not very practical.
I mean, it's not bad looking. It's interesting looking, but at the same time, it's just like, wow, it's so many pods stuck together.
Yeah.
That seems like a very, yeah, it's very impractical.
Very impractical. Voyager is going to detach, but then Kim says, you know, if we extend our shields or something, we can help keep their...
If we extend our integrity field around, we can help them keep their stuff together for a little bit longer while they try to evacuate people.
Those areas.
And Janeway listens to him.
Yeah.
The guy she's been shitting on the entire episode.
She's like, fine.
She's like, okay, I guess we can, you know.
So, and back on the Varro ship, strangely enough, Tala's in there with the captain. Why, she's not put in the brig after everything that she just pulled, which is ridiculous.
Who knows?
So, she's like, oh, looks like those Voyager people that you distrusted are actually protecting our ship from blowing up so we can get our crew members off there. It's like, not so bad now, are they? And he's like, guess not.
I guess you're not total shitheads.
So they get everyone off those sections, but then the ship does blow up and then...
All the sections come apart. Those sections
become apart. Voyager takes off. Next scene we have is basically... The Varro decide that they're going to take this different sections and they're going to separate. So
the people who want to stay together are going to stay together in their separate ships, and then the people that want to leave are going to go off and do what they want.
Right.
And Tall doesn't seem to give a shit about Harry.
She's like,
she's going to go off. She doesn't ask him to stay, and he doesn't ask her to stay. They're very bad at like commitment and
working
on relationships.
Terrible. Like, you know, you could start a new life with Tall right now.
Or she could start a new life with you.
Right now.
I mean, they brought on board, you know, the space Jawa Neelix.
Yep. Jawa.
I'm a space Jawa.
I'm a space Jawa. I've never heard of water. I've never Jawa, taken a bath baby. Before.
I smell like shit.
I'm a space Jawa, baby.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Oh, we've been having some Borg Queen.
Oh, yeah. So,
and my 3-layer Star Trek Division shot.
Oh, that was very nice. It was wonderfully crafted. So they all go a separate way, and all Kim says, when you see a Class 3 nebula...
Think of me.
Think of me.
No, don't just think of me in general. Only when you see a Class 3 nebula. It's like, oh, come on, Harry.
That's just way corny, and just please stop talking.
Stop. Stop trying to wax romantic. You were terrible at it, just like you're terrible at being a captain.
So, yeah. So they take off, and then we get this kind of long, drawn out, like maybe 5-6 minute interlude where...
Like Neelix is actually... I like Neelix in this episode. He's not being an annoying little shit. Like, this is like the only time I'm like, oh, Neelix...
Few and far between.
Neelix is like, oh, he's just being a normal person. Oh, last call for alcohol. Finish your whiskey and beer. I left the...
Closing time.
One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey and sadness.
So Kim could get some treatment from the doctor to help him with this pathogen that he got from Tal, and he refuses. Now, it will pass. It will leave his system in a few months.
The doctor's like, Captain, tell him to take his medicine.
And she's like, I could, but he just likes to be love-stricken, heartbroken.
And if, you know, I'm not going to let you out of your, you know, your duties...
Yeah,
you're going to not sleep and do it. You're still going to have to do your job. I'm not going to let you go easy if you're not going to take your medicine.
So, like...
So, I'm glad Janeway's not cutting them any slack.
No.
He deserves none.
So, Kim sort of turns to this emo goth kid.
Yeah. He's got his black eyeliner and his fingernails all black. And
he's listening to The Cure, Disintegration. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. And apparently he's also doing extra work because he's not sleeping. And 7 of 9 comes in.
She goes, you're doing more work than normal. Boy, I guess being romantic love does have its good points, doesn't it?
Gives me more time to regenerate. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for letting me sleep in a little more. And it kind of ends so in...
It's just like the ending of Nightingale, where it's Kim and he's sulking.
Yeah. He just sort of like looks off in the distance like, oh, I fucked up again. Yeah, what's up with that?
Like, Kim episodes always have this weird dissonant ending where it's just like,
yeah,
it's just kind of cringy a little bit.
Not cringe. Like, this wasn't cringy. It's just more of just sadness, and just like left me with a lot of questions. But yeah, you're right.
Episodes are just ending.
We're gonna have to start like putting like a flag down every time we see an end of a Kim episode.
Yeah.
Does it end
so
like
far?
This?
There's two.
Me too. Yeah. So Dave, you pick this. Why don't you just give me a little bit of your ideas after seeing this episode?
You know, actually, like I was expecting this episode to be terrible because it was a Harry Kim episode. But like I said earlier, I really wanted to bring this episode up because we talked about Nightingale, and I referenced this episode in particular when we talked about Nightingale as one of the reasons why he's not gotten a promotion. He's not done himself any favors in Janeway's eyes. He's like
7 years.
Yeah, he's just, you know,
you're ensign.
So I just kind of wanted to reinforce that issue. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's just go into more of Harry Kim's failures.
Right.
Because that was kind of fun. But the episode, actually, I actually like this episode as better than Nightingale, if I'm just going to, like, you know, judging it, my personal opinion, objectively. I thought this was really well. And when you mentioned it was written by the guy who wrote Pale Moonlight, now I know why this episode is better, because it's just that guy can write. And it's a good episode, even though you have to watch the horrible like sexting thing. It's so painful to watch.
Hey, he was ahead of his time. He knew that was happening.
Yeah, video sexting, like before we had, you know, texting on cell phones.
Well, they used to have phone calls. What was it called?
Oh, they had sex phone lines. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you could like you would call your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you kind of like have sex over the phone. I don't remember.
Phone sex?
Phone sex. Thank you. That was...
Speaking of phone sex, this is totally unrelated, but I used to work at Verizon, and this lady was calling up to get a new phone service. And I don't know if she didn't know to put me on hold or whatever, but she was like calling me on her regular phone asking for phone service, and she was on her cell phone or something, talking to her boyfriend, supposedly having phone sex with him. So I heard everything she was saying.
Wow.
And I was like, and it was like toward the end of the night, and I was just like, I can, like, she's distracted. She's having phone sex. I can drag this out so I don't have to take another call. I can just leave after this call. So I just, and it was so awkward just listening to her phone sex and saying all these raunchy things.
And was your nog nog getting purple?
No, it was just like I was just excited. I guess I was excited that I could leave after this phone call and not have to take another phone call. But she also went to the bathroom during the call too, and I heard everything with that too. I'm just like, oh my gosh! Like I'm hearing this person go to the bathroom. I'm hearing her like say gross things to her boyfriend. I'm hearing her fake moan. I'm all this stuff. I'm just like, wow.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Oh,
so you like that?
It's a surprisingly solid episode given that Harry Kim is the focal point. What about you? What did you think about this episode?
Well, a couple things. One, writing's okay. I didn't hate the episode. I just felt, I think it did kind of left you off at like a kind of moment because Kim's kind of heartbroken. And like I was saying to you off mic, like why didn't Kim
go with her? Or why didn't she
run off with Tal, or Tal come run off with, stay with Kim? You know,
there's no other than, you know, paying an actress full time or writing him off the show.
Right.
It's just, that's the unfortunate thing about Star Trek, especially in the 90s, which we were talking about. It's the golden age of Star Trek. But unfortunately, everything's got to be wrapped up in a nice bow and pretty, so the next episode can be its own standalone episode.
Well, they should have given more of a reason why they couldn't be together still. Like, Kim, he's a Starfleet officer. He could just say, look, I'm in love. I want to do a different thing with my life. I've been ensign for 5 years here. And
nothing's happening for me.
And we might never get home. And I'm sorry, but I just want to go do my own thing. You know, we're going to go investigate this planet binary system, and we're going to check that out. And
I'm going to have kids with Tal, and it's going to be fantastic, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll check it out. That's the thing, but instead he just sits there and mopes at the end, and he feels sad. And, you know, I get it. I mean, I understand what it's like to be heartbroken, but I also wonder, like, why didn't you just...
He's doing it to himself, or she's doing it to... Like there's a way around it.
Yeah.
But just it's just the way Star Trek works. It's just that everything's going to be wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, so the next episode, everything can be the same.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
I hate
and
that
that's,
part.
And that's... That's the one thing I'm excited about with Star Trek Discovery, with it being heavily serialized.
It's not episodic.
With it being heavily serialized, they can do stuff like that. Like if the new person, they can stay and they can kill them, or they can make write people off the show. Right. Like, you know, in our group chat, you know, you've heard us with Robbie and with Josiah from Artful Gremlins and the Geekiverse. We actually do we have a Facebook private chat that we talk in, and we were talking about the Last Jedi trailer and like, you know, how, you know, people could die in this movie. And I'm like, same thing with the new Star Trek show. We are living in a post. What I said was, we're living in a post Game of Thrones world.
Right.
Like, people will die.
If it's written well, it can make people love you or hate your show, but at least it'll get people be interested because they don't know what's going to happen next. Because people get attached to certain characters, they identify with them.
Yeah, like we are living like a Game of Thrones is amazing.
I mean, the biggest thing that we ever saw was Tasha Yar dying in TNG,
and that was because, you know, Denise Crosby wanted to leave. But that was a shocker
when it happened. I was like, whoa, they just killed her.
They killed the main character,
and I was young too. And I was like, wow, they just killed her?
I was even younger. I was like, oh my god, they killed a character. I can't believe they killed a character in Star Trek that wasn't like a throwaway character.
Yeah, it wasn't just some ensign like walked in, hey Captain.
Oh, you mean like him?
Yeah. Hey Captain, I'm really interested in biomechanics. Can we check out this race? Oh my god, it bit my head off. You know,
bioluminescence.
So.
Boop, boop.
Oh my nag!
It's so shiny.
So Kim could have done that. That kind of pisses me off that he didn't, or there wasn't any kind of like thought behind.
Unfortunately, the episode is just a product of its time.
Yeah,
everything in the 90s was like that, though.
Yeah, it's like sitcoms.
You do an episode,
the character in the sitcom wins the lottery.
He gets a million, and then all of a sudden, so some technicality loses all the money. So the next episode,
he's back to normal.
Yeah, it's back to normal. And that's unfortunately, they're just a product of the time, being in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's just a product, but that's what's got me so, I mean, like, I know people were, you know, disappointed with Star Trek Discovery, and, you know, we had our new segment at the beginning of the show talking about how Star Trek Discovery is like, oh, it's just, seems like a mess, but it's exciting, too, because of all the, like I said, post-Game of Thrones world, anyone could die.
Well, I agree, and I hope that whatever happens with Discovery, that the time we're waiting for it is well worth it. The gestation of this baby to be born.
Considering it was, you know, supposed to come out in January.
I know.
And more than likely we won't get it until, like, end of the, like, fourth quarter, but, if not for first quarter next year.
But maybe we're going to get something really awesome. So that's a possibility. Let's not put that out either. Maybe they're just taking a little longer to make the soup to make it really good.
And that's the one thing that's exciting about it being on an all access type thing. If there's anything exciting about it, is that they're not pressed for time. They can make sure it's going to be a good show, and hopefully they can push the boundaries where Star Trek has never gone before.
Yeah. A couple things. The guy who played the Varro captain,
mm-hmm.
his name is Chris Rockett. He had a very interesting career. I just want to point out a couple things.
I love the stuff that you find. Did he like punch a nanny and then they throw him in a car and you...
Sort of. so he was born Charles Adam Clavarier. He was born in Bangor, Maine, and he attended the Rhode Island School of Design in Providence, Rhode Island. And he went to a bunch of short films, and he was in his own band. And then he later went on to, a couple of years later, to Saturday Night Live. And he was sort of like the Weekend Update guy.
Huh.
And he played opposite of, like, Joe Piscopo and stuff like that. And he
did he have a better range, I hope?
He got kicked off of Saturday Night Live for saying fuck on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, too bad he didn't say it in Voyager.
That'd have been awesome. One of his most notable roles was he played the villain, the bad guy, in Dumb and Dumber. Sort of like the rich asshole who was trying to, like...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he's actually got a quite... He's got quite a...
He does have a range.
Yeah, he has quite a big acting career. Unfortunately, his acting career came to an end.
Oh.
Yeah. This is where it gets bad. So he's found near his home in Canterbury, Connecticut, on October 7th, 2005, with his throat had been cut.
Oh.
His death was ruled a suicide.
What?
I've never heard of suicide by cutting your own throat.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. He was 56 years old. So pretty, and his ashes, he was cremated and his ashes were scattered.
I have never heard of a suicide by cutting your own throat. Cutting your wrists.
Cutting
your
wrists. Like
hanging, you know, shooting yourself in the face.
Taking pills. Yeah.
I've never heard of anyone cutting their own throat.
No, me neither.
That is bizarre. I think he was murdered. I mean, like, I know nothing other than what you just told me.
I looked up. I was trying to find out if there was any news articles. I couldn't find anything.
This needs to be on Unsolved Mysteries. Narrated by William Shatner.
No, who was the guy who was I forgot the guy. He was this guy from Airplane,
yeah.
The original movie.
No, but William Shatner should come back and do it. Like, that should be his new gig since he's not doing Priceline anymore. I've seen
Priceline. The woman who played Tall, she actually has an interesting background as well.
She looks familiar.
She's been in a lot. Just one thing about Chris Rockett, too. Because I saw this, like I said, he had a long career. One of his big careers was he played a voice actor of the pirate Nim in Star Wars Starfighter video games.
Oh, Star Wars Starfighter. That was like a prequel era game, I think.
Because you were talking about the TIE Fighter game before.
Yeah, that was...
I don't know if it's tied in with that.
No, this is a Starfighter. This was like a prequel era game. This is like an Xbox, original Xbox, PlayStation 2 era game, I think.
So, going back to the love interest of Kim is Tal.
She looks so familiar.
So, her name is Musetta Vanter, and she's South African.
Really?
Yes, she's South African, and she was born in 1963, so she's a little bit older than me.
Really? She does. I mean, granted, the episode's like almost 20 years old, but she didn't look that old.
Well, she started off, so she She was a host for South Africa's basic version of MTV. So
I
she was.
I can see that.
So she was like one of their video hosts, and she was like
wearing like a short skirt and a midriff cut off thing. I could totally see that.
Well, so she was in a lot of music videos too. So she was in music videos as a dancer for Rod Stewart, Tina Turner, Elton John, Chris Isaac, and Amy Grant. Later on, she
too
was,
bad they didn't put any of this to use in Star Trek.
Yeah. Later, she was in 1997. She was in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, yeah. She was, what was her name?
I can look that up later.
That's where I recognize her from.
She was in the Will Smith movie, Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
So she was in there.
That was a terrible movie.
It was a terrible movie. She was one of
poor
the.
Kenneth
did you ever see the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I did not see that.
You never saw that movie? You would love that movie. See that movie.
I'm familiar with it because that's why I named
George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney. Yeah, I'm familiar with it because that's why I named our Shuttlecraft episode that Guy did, Our Shuttlecraft, Where Art Thou.
Yeah, no, you should see it. It's a really good movie. Very good movie. But she played
I've heard good things about it. I just never saw it.
She played one of these sirens. There's these girls that were singing and they were all like attracted to these girls.
I could see that.
She also played in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Xena Warrior Princess, Babylon 5, Highlander's a series.
Babylon 5? I mean, I've seen a lot of Babylon 5.
Yeah, so she's been in a lot.
She's a sci-fi veteran.
No, she's in a ton of crap, and she's still acting even today. Let's see, what was the television? What were we talking about, the one that you're asking about?
Mortal Kombat. She probably played, like, I can't remember the character's
name. I'm looking it up right now.
I've been drinking a lot. Not Shiva.
Sindel?
Sindel, yeah. Sindel. That's the character I was thinking. Sindel. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's...
But I feel so... She's a good actress, and that... Sindel was terrible, like, in that movie. Like, I just feel like...
Well, she was also in the version of 2000 version... year 2000 version of Dune.
Oh, in Dune? Okay.
Yeah, she played... some royalty. I forgot what it was, but...
Yeah, she wasn't the main girl.
Yeah, but anyway, so...
Wow, she's had an amazing career.
Yeah, she's got a very long career.
I mean, Mortal Kombat was terrible, but I mean, like, a lot of that could have been up to the director, too. Because I've said this, and I will keep saying this. Like, the director can make or break a movie.
Sure. Yeah.
Even with bad actors.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Vin Diesel, I don't count him a great actor, but I felt like in Chronicles of Riddick, there's a couple points in the movie where he, like, totally sold the character. Mm-hmm. And then you go look at the prequels with George Lucas directing, and you've got all fantabulous director. I mean, actors.
Actors, yeah.
You've got Natalie Portman. She's amazing. You know,
and nothing works.
Ewan McGregor, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson. Yeah. You've got all these amazing actors.
Nothing works.
And then, like, their acting comes off terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, her playing Sindel in Mortal Kombat, I'm sure that's either up to terrible script, terrible director, and, you know, whatever. I'm sure she was probably laughed at, you know, for playing that role. But she was a damn good actress in this episode.
No, she, like, was great.
She is a good actress.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked her character. I liked everybody's portrayal of everybody. I like Kim. I like Janeway's coming at Kim because of his discretion. So,
as far as for Garrett Wang, I definitely would say this is probably one of his better episodes as far as his acting goes.
Well, and you get a great version of, like, all his ranges that he can do. Like, you know, he's in love and
the sexting. Oh man, like
the confusion of being
that's
in love.
Just cringeworthy
because he's like confused between his duty and his heart. You know, so there's a lot there. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to look at, especially in my eyes, because I'm a little removed. I've been married for quite a while, so it's like that crazy, insane love that you have. You know, it's been a while since I've been in that world, you know, so it's like everything's pretty, like, steady Eddie for me, you know. So it's very strange to see that again, but I know it's a fact. It happens.
Yeah.
Gets people nuts.
Without a doubt.
And it makes people do stupid things, you know, like really dumb things. They will throw away so much of their life.
Absolutely.
Because they're like, oh, you know. And 7 and 9 is not totally wrong, you know.
Love is it a disease?
It's a disease that just will mess with your mind just because your body's saying procreate. So
the art program? No.
No.
No, but it is, and I think the episode is really well done. I like the title of it, the disease. I like how it's based on what Seven of Nine says.
Yeah.
You know, it's really poignant, and it definitely makes you think a little bit about, you know, what love is and, you know, what it does to you and just life in general. It's a really solid episode.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It was good. I don't like the ending. I thought it was not thought out well. I mean, just him being mopey. Okay, but like,
it's the only thing they could do to make it fit into the 90s era of like everything has to reset for the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, interesting episode. I strangely don't remember seeing this before. Maybe I did see it and I just kind of forgot.
Really?
About it. I don't remember. I was like, man, I'm pretty sure I've seen most Voyager, but maybe I skipped this somehow.
That's really cool. That it's like,
yeah.
So you don't even remember at all seeing it ever before. That's awesome.
Not remotely. I mean, and season 5 I probably would have seen, so, but maybe it was one of those things I thought I saw.
Maybe you just missed it that week.
Or maybe it was like one of those that I saw part of it, I didn't see the rest of it, you know, kind of thing.
Or maybe you just missed it on its initial run. Maybe
I haven't rewatched it either.
Maybe somehow you skipped it on your rewatch.
I skip a lot of things when I'm rewatching. I sometimes would be like, eh.
Especially with Voyager.
Voyager,
it's
like,
easy to skip stuff on Voyager.
Yeah. There's definitely some episodes.
I mean, people who love Voyager, more power to you. I think it's got some really great episodes.
When Voyager hits, it hits awesome.
And it hits hard. It hits really good.
But when it hits bad, it really hits bad.
Like, my issue with Voyager is it never had, I mean, as much as I complain about Voyager and this and that, it never had that moment like Next Gen and Deep Space Nine did, where like once you cross season 3, it just gets solid for the rest of the run.
Right.
Like, Voyager never had that. Voyager has amazing episodes in every single one of its seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also got some of the worst episodes of Star Trek in every one of its seasons.
Yeah, hot and cold.
And so it's very hot and cold. And that's my issue with Voyager. Like, it never found its stride.
Yeah.
Like Next Gen and DS9 did. I mean, things did kind of get better season 4, because I like Seven of Nine, and she became a part of the show in season 4,
right,
and a lot of the episodes were based around her. But even though they had that, I mean, still, the episodes in, you know, 1 through 3 also had some really high episodes, and had some really low episodes. Like, there was never, like, a plateau that Voyager reached, or it just evened out and was consistently good. It still was, like, a roller coaster, up and down, the entire run. That's my take on it, personally. And that's why I usually, I shit on Voyager a lot. And I'm sorry if you love Voyager, but that's just my personal take on it. That it never had that plateau like the other series did.
My thing is, every time I rewatch Voyager, because I'm very dismissive of Voyager, but every time I see it, there's always something I forgot, something that was really good about it. I mean, yes, there are some terrible episodes, but sometimes even the acting, like, you know, Kate Mulgrew's.
She's so good.
She's so good.
When they give her good lines.
When she gives her good lines, or if she's
which
got
is
like.
Unfortunately, not that often, but.
Yeah. No, but there's some really good. I mean, there's some really great parts, and, you know, and once in a while, there's some awesome episodes, too. So, I mean.
And this was one of the more solid episodes for Voyager, I think.
There's nothing about it.
I'm not saying it's great, but it's solid.
You know what's
cool
about it, too, is it's more of an intro personal kind of thing, so we're not like dealing with anything major. Like, it's not like you're, I mean, yes, they're meeting a new race, but it's not like, not gonna make or break anything.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, you don't really know how they got involved with this Varro race, but, you know, it's kind of like left off, but you just assume that they made some friendly relations with. So, but yeah, it's a cool episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah. Good to listen to.
Yeah, you know, especially if you've seen The Nightingale, you can see reasons why. Yeah, you know, this is an episode you can check out, see why Kim is not qualified to be a captain. This case in point.
Should have ran off with Tal. He'd be happy.
He He'd been way happier. He wouldn't have had to fail in the Nightingale.
He could have been his own captain of his own ship somewhere.
Yeah, the captain of the pod by marrying the woman who's the leader of the resistance.
There you go.
The quote-unquote resistance.
I think that could happen. I think that could happen.
Marrying into power, because that's the only way Harry Kim's going to get me.
You know, but maybe it would have been like the keys to ignition, and he'd be like, yeah, now I know what I'm doing.
Maybe.
You know, instead of just... And the other thing, last thing I want to think about this is, wasn't Harry Kim engaged before he left?
Yeah. He had this woman, and there was an episode
where, he goes back and visits her within some kind of...
Like some kind of like anomaly sends him back to see her, and she's like, oh, you never left. And he's like, what? I didn't leave? I can't remember the name of the episode.
Yeah, it's an earlier episode, like maybe season like
one
three.
Or two?
Yeah.
Maybe three, I don't know.
But yeah, but it's definitely... But I was like, so she kind of just went away.
I think you know, the next time we do Voyager, we'll look for that one, or maybe the one... That I also mentioned on Nightingale, where he gets, you know, attracted by these women who convince him that he's like a lost member of their race.
Right.
Like maybe we'll keep going on this like Harry Kim fails.
Harry Kim keeps falling down.
This thing, because you know we did promise that this year is going to be the year of Voyager for Synthaholics, that we're going to do more Voyager. We're going to avoid it less because you guys seem to love Voyager, and we're gonna try not to disappoint.
More Voyager.
I may be hard on it, but I hope that's, you know, I hope you enjoy it anyway.
If it's worth it, guys, you'll know that it was a good episode. This was a good episode.
For sure. This was a good episode. I definitely enjoyed it. Pale Moonlight Rider, I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong.
No, you can't. I don't know. Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
Well, you can find all our music. Our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at David_J_Duncan and the show at Synthaholic Duo. Aaron?
I'm at two.
You're at two.
I'm at.
If you just type in two in Twitter, you can find Aaron.
No, I'm at Blackbird. No, you won't. Blackbird 2004. Too much drinks tonight. Whoa.
That Borg Queen is really getting to your head. Did it assimilate you?
I think anything could somebody's nog-nog could assimilate me right now.
Slap you across the face with the nog-nog.
Helicopter.
Helicopter nog-nog.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, I'm so bad at this after drinks.
So, hey.
Rate us and review us.
Rate and review. Please go on to iTunes. Go on and say, hey, 5 stars, Synthaholics, love these guys, write a quick review, let the algorithms of iTunes know about us.
Even if you don't listen to us through iTunes,
yeah.
Actually, especially if you don't listen to us through iTunes,
yeah.
Go and rate us there. I know you love your Android phone, you hate Apple because you call them the Apple sheeple, but iTunes is huge for us as far in any podcast. iTunes is where it's at.
I think Google Play, I think all the other ones, Google Stitcher, Play. I think they all ride off the algorithms of iTunes.
So even if you don't use iTunes for anything, please, like, it would be the biggest favor to us other than donating to our Patreon. If you want to, like, you know, do something for free, just take a couple minutes, go onto iTunes and review our show.
Yeah, do a search for podcast, find Synthaholics, and do a quick review. That'd be great. And if you can, if you have a couple bucks, throw a buck our way or more.
Patreon.com/Synthaholics.
Yeah, it helps us keep our site going, keeping our costs down. So that would be awesome if you could do that. Also, if you want to talk to us, tell us, send us a message, an email. Please send us an email at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear everything from you. We love to hear your feedback. If you agreed with us, disagreed with us, had a different point of view, or maybe you have an idea for an episode that you'd like just us to rant on for a while.
Yeah, like give us ideas for episodes, because like I know we mentioned a couple episodes ago that we just watched Star Trek for the show now, mostly. I mean, we might watch an episode here and there,
right.
But I mean, like, there's so many episodes, and if there's an episode that you haven't, you know,
or
heard
a topic,
us,
or a topic,
or just to, random topic, yeah.
Yeah, you want us to talk about. Definitely, we definitely entertain it, and if we can get into that, we would love to do that. So definitely do that. Also, if you know somebody who might like Star Trek, sci-fi, like just offbeat humor, definitely let us know, let them know about the show. Let other people know about podcasting. A lot of people don't know about it. You know, when you're feeding the ducks out at the pond and that old man's next to you, talk to that old man. Say, do you ever hear of Synthaholic, sir?
Oh, hey.
What's a Synthaholic?
I don't know what a Synthaholic is.
Have you heard of podcasts? I don't know what a cast of pods.
No, but I've been an alcoholic for years.
And it's similar.
Similar. Very similar. So let them know about it. Let them know your mom, let your sister, let your roommate.
And even if they don't like Star Trek, I mean, we are a show that we try to explain everything we're talking about. So even if you haven't seen the episode, you know what's happening. Right. We explain everything. We try to keep it funny and light so that anyone, even if they don't like Star Trek, if they like weird humor and like just, you know, the way we do things, if you think the way we talk.
If you like jokes about nog nogs.
Yeah, nog nog jokes.
Knock knock jokes.
You know, send them our way. And even if they don't like Star Trek and you don't think our show is for them, recommend them any podcast that you like. Yeah. Because podcasting in general, I mean, it's big in a way, but it's also still niche in a way.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows. People still listen to regular radio.
I can't get across to people how important podcasting is, because it's so much different than radio. You can get so much long-form conversations and hash out ideas that normally you can't get out in a quick 20-minute, 30-minute segment on a radio. So, I mean, like, you can really get into, like, really the deep dirt of things, you know, and get into things, whatever you're talking about, whatever topic.
Like we do on Star Trek. I mean, you've got hardcore history if you like history. If you like murder type things. You've got Sword and Scale, and you've got Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah.
And they also deal with aliens and other kind of weird stuff, which, I mean, is all sorts of stuff. There's Nerdynomicon, and they deal with all sorts of, like, pop culture stuff. You know, our friend Robbie does that. Couldn't Be Models. I don't even know what to kind of categorize them as. They're just, like, random. Like,
well, nerd pop culture.
But not the same way Nerdynomicon is. I mean, they do, like, Maybe pop culture instead of nerd culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Nerdynomicon's nerd culture, and I guess maybe Couldn't Be Models is just pop culture.
Yeah, they kind of do everything.
I mean, they do get in the nerd culture too, but they're more broad, like as a comedy show.
Right. Yeah, check them out. They're fun. I mean, they're not for everybody, but you know, they're definitely offbeat.
They're very like
if you like our nog nog jokes.
And if you want, to go up a level, go with them. If you want to go up two levels, go to Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like we try to push the envelope a little bit. But we don't try to push it as far as
we're not trying to rip your face off.
No, but other people do, and it's pleasantly amazing if you need it.
No, but that for sure. So yeah, let people know about podcasting. A lot of people don't.
And Rocky Mountain Geek Tank guy, our podcast host who doesn't get to see us very often because of my schedule is shit. I'm sorry, guy, that you don't get to join us as much because of my terrible
schedule. Guy, we miss you.
We miss you. We got to get you on soon. I'm working on getting a day job because right now I work a second shift job, which makes my schedule terrible. But I'm trying to get a first shift job, so hopefully that'll work out.
Hopefully. And Guy, if you don't know, Guy Davis does a Star Trek comic called the USS Tamberlin. And he's also working on another webcomic called Witches Aflame.
And you can support him at patreon.com/GSDavisArt. While you're on Patreon at patreon.com/Synthaholics, also take a look at patreon.com/GSDavisArt because he does art, and he's an artist for a living.
Yeah.
And he does a podcast. His podcast isn't really part of his Patreon, but he is an artist for a living.
And I just got to say that we had him on over a year ago. I don't remember when, but
it's longer than a year ago.
I followed Guy Davis, his art, for a long time, and I was just a big fan of what he was doing, and he's very faithful to the Star Trek idea when he made the USS Tamberlin. So definitely check that out. He's got a great site, and you can check out all his backstories, and he's working on, I think he's almost close to wrapping up his last arc here, and I think he's going to step away from Tamberlin for a little bit, I think he told me. But he'll probably go back to it. But, you know,
he wants to focus on Witch's Flame because that's his new
thing.
His new and his own personal intellectual property instead of being based on, you know, CBS's intellectual property. It's his own thing, and he definitely wants to run with it. And it's beautiful. His artwork is beautiful. He does great work.
Yeah.
His Rocky Mountain Geek Tank is amazing, and it's a show we want to do a crossover with, where his show does a Synthaholics episode and we do a Rocky Mountain Geek Tank episode.
Absolutely.
So we're looking forward to talking with him again, so we can try to get those ideas worked out.
We love Guy, we want him back, but we know sometimes it's hard.
It's just his schedules. It's schedules. So we get him whenever we can. And we love having him on whenever we can. So hopefully things will work out soon.
Absolutely.
We miss you guys.
Fruitin'lutely. Absolutely. So, so check him out. Check out our friends at Nerdynomicon, Artful Gremlins, Couldn't Be Models. Check out our friends at
The Geekiverse.
Geekiverse.
Josiah, we love hanging out with you. Thank you so much for coming on our
show last week for Ghost in the Shell. Yep, it was great.
Yeah, check that out, guys. I mean, it's not very high on the things, and I know maybe you're not in. You didn't want to look at it because it wasn't Star Trek, but look at it. I mean, if you're downloading this one, you didn't download the last one, check it out. It was fun. We talk about philosophy. We talk about Japanese animation. We still have our jokes that we have with each other.
It was a really funny episode. There's a lot of funny stuff going on. So it's worth seeing. Listening to. Worth considering. And if you had a problem with Ghost in the Shell because of the political climate, just listen to us, and you might change your mind
It might change your mind. You know, we all came down on the side where you should go see this. It was a fun movie.
Fun movie.
And even if you didn't see it, listen to our take on it anyway, because, we're here to entertain you. I mean, maybe it's not your thing, but, I mean, we still had fun doing it. We still brought the humor like we always do, and, you know, we talked about, you know, deep ideas and philosophies. I mean, it's very much like Star Trek Next Generation, Measure of a Man.
Yeah.
Like, as far as philosophy goes.
Absolutely.
And how that kind of stuff goes. So, I mean, if Measure of a Man is one of your favorite episodes, and it's one of mine, this is, you know, Ghost in the Shell's type of thing you should listen to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, listen to our take on it.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. And by the time this comes out, we should be having the next Nerds Around Table for the Nerdynomicon, where we
talked about things that you may not have tried, be it podcast, video games,
sucking comic on nog books. Nogs.
Sucking on nog nogs was totally one of the topics. not really.
We didn't talk about that.
Video games, comic books, movies, television shows. It was things you may not have tried. So we'll be sharing that on the Synthaholics page, because yours truly and Aaron O'Brien was also on it.
We are on there. Hey, thank you so much for giving us a little listening to us, and joining us for this, because we enjoy doing the show and we enjoy being here with you.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
And I was like, so what? This is just us feeling bad for Harry Kim.
Maybe.
I mean, I can't think of anything.
It's actually, I think it's a more solid episode than Nightingale was.
It's not a bad episode. It's just that this is just like, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'll get to the end part how I felt at the end of it, but it's like, I just don't understand. I mean, if you love something or somebody, just go and go for it.
It wasn't like she went off with the rest of her people, and like she went off on her, you know, on her. Why didn't he go with her?
I don't know. I would have. If you were that crazy in love.
And they said, like, there's biological ramifications, like, it could kill you by not.
Yeah.
But then, she said it's not a big deal. Her captain said.
Her captain said that she could die.
That she could die. And then the doctor's like, Kim won't die from it. And I'm like,
then why did you bring it up?
Yeah.
Why did you even bring up that point? If no one's going to die.
And most of Memory Alpha was about the opening shot. I was like, I mean, wow, there's nothing going on in this episode other than that.
I mean,
we spent so much time. It's a beautiful opening shot.
Yeah, the opening shot is really good. It's pretty kick-ass. It makes up for a lot of other things. But...